today's Dharma talk is based on a verse from the Dhammapada, which talks about near-death experiences and rebirth consciousness, which will be the basis of the Dharma talk by Bhante Ratanasara. But before we go to the Dharma talk, let us take a look at the verse first. Dhammapada verse 16, Dhammika Upasaka Vatu. Here he rejoices, hereafter he rejoices. One who has performed meritorious deeds rejoices in both existences. He rejoices and greatly rejoices when he sees the purity of his own deeds. Once, there lived in Savatthi a lay disciple by the name of Dhammika, who was virtuous and very fond of doing charity. He generously offered food and other requisites to holy men regularly and also on special occasions. He was in fact the leader of many virtuous lay disciples of the Buddha who lived in Savatthi. Dhammika had many children, and all of them, like their father, were also virtuous and devoted to charity. When Dhammika was very ill and was on his deathbed, he requested the Sangha to recite the sacred suttas by his bedside. While the bhikkhus were reciting the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, he saw a vision of six decorated chariots from six celestial worlds arriving to invite him to their respective worlds. Dhammika told them to wait for a while for fear of interrupting the recitation of the sutta. The bhikkhus, thinking that they were being asked to stop, discontinued their chanting and left the place. A little while later, Dhammika told his children about the six decorated chariots waiting for him. Then and there, he decided to choose the chariot from the Tusita world, and he passed away with happiness and confidence in his mind. Thus, the virtuous man rejoices in this world as well as in the next. This is from the Dhammapada, translated by the late Venerable Kesari Dhammananda, and now we invite Bhante to give us a Dharma talk based on this verse. Bhante, please.
Near-death experiences and rebirth consciousness. Around the world, those who survived the death related their near-death experiences. These stories have drawn the attention from the scientific community. The scientific research in the field of human mind and near-death experiences are still in primitive stage. Nevertheless, in recent decades, there were a number of books which have been published analyzing, investigating, and elaborating on these experiences of those who were about to die but survived. There are also some scientific research papers published in scientific journals. What exactly are these near-death experiences? When we look into the various stories related by these people, in fact, there are a lot of different aspects to it. Many people report they underwent a dark tunnel and eventually came to a bright light. Some of these people, they relate the stories of encountering with some other beings, like those beings with pure light. In other terms, their bodies are made of light. They also says that at that stage, they did not have any clue about the time and space. It seems time and space has totally irrelevant at this stage. Language does not have any use. They still manage to communicate with these beings, but it's only through the thoughts. So without the languages, they could communicate with each other and they understood each other. They also claimed that they felt a sense of joy, peace, and security. They felt like they wanted to be there without coming back to this world. Some people, they report that in their near-death experiences, they saw beautiful flower gardens and landscape, which are extremely beautiful and cannot be explained through human language. Others, they report that they met their departed relatives and talked to them, they accompanied them, and they had reunion with their departed ones. Still, there are also people who report they had so much fear, and some cases they are stuck in void places, being unable to move. Some others reported that they have seen horrific figures, very terrifying creatures, such as like demons or ghosts. Some others still report that they experienced pain and suffering and heard horrible sounds and horrific scenes. Some people report that they also had outside the body experiences, especially in the cases where accidents involved, or those patients who survived cardiac arrest. And later on, they reported that they in fact managed to see their own body, and they were floating above this, their own body, and zooming into their own body. And also they managed to explain vividly, very accurately, some of the incidents that happened. For example, the dialogues went on between the doctors and the nurses, or the what kind of surgeries or what kind of activities the health professional took in order to revive him. And some of these informations are hard to understand or hard to guess without seeing them actually being done. So some of these people, they report the outside body experiences and relate some of the information where in fact scientific communities still trying to get their heads around and cannot understand how it happened. Still, there are some people who claimed just before they die, while they are undergoing these near-death experiences, And they recalled their entire life in vivid memory and in clear visions. They happened to see their own life unfolding, various events in one's life, both ethical and unethical activities, like seen in a TV screen. And they also said that when they experienced them, they experienced them objectively. It's like someone is watching these as a third party without being involved. So they could, in fact, understand what is good and bad, since they are not emotionally attached to them, and they experience them as a third party. So these are some of the experiences of those people who claimed that they were about to die, or in some cases they claimed they died, but they came back to life. What do the scientists say about these experiences? In fact, scientific community has divided views on this matter. They could not come to a conclusion. I believe that we need more research, more experiments before we come to any conclusion. However, based on different opinions of the scientific community, we can broadly divide them into two groups. And both these two groups have their own views based on what they mean as brain and consciousness. So based on these two concepts, brain and consciousness, they have different views on this matter. So one group of scientists, according to their understanding of the science, consciousness is the product of the brain. In other terms, there's something called mind apart from the brain. Brain itself is the mind or consciousness. According to their view, when someone dies, that is the end of the consciousness. Consciousness cannot exist apart from the brain. The brain death means the end of the life. So according to this scientific view, there's no way for the consciousness to exist without the brain. They suggest that these near-death experiences are possibly caused by the surge of the electrical impulses of the brain, electrical activities of the brain. In other terms, they say that near-death experiences are nothing but the experiences of the dying brain. However, this view has been criticized for two reasons, or in other terms, they face two stumbling blocks. They cannot give a satisfactory scientific-based answer to two questions. One of them is this. There are cases where patients are clinically dead, brain dead patients. Nevertheless, they have come back to life. Scientifically speaking, a brain dead person come back to life and reveal the experiences of that person as near-death experiences cannot be explained scientifically in a such a way that everybody will agree. So this is one hurdle. The second most difficult question to answer for this group of scientists is outside body experiences. Some of these people who related their near-death experiences managed to tell very accurately some of the incidents which happened on the ground at the stage where the scientists recognize these patients are brain dead. So there's no way for a brain dead person to hear or see things. Nevertheless, the informations that they have given are so accurate. So scientists still do not know how to answer this. The other group of scientists have got a different view about the brain and the consciousness. According to this group of scientists, brain does not produce the mind. Nevertheless, mind is experienced through the brain. In other terms, brain is a filter that consciousness comes into experience. So what happens when brain dies, the brain is stopped filtering the consciousness. But the consciousness experiences the world outside of the brain, what we call out-body experiences. So when such a person comes back to life, and then the person experiences something which cannot be explained in human experience. So according to the view of these scientists, they speculate that there is a possibility that consciousness can survive, or consciousness can exist without the brain, without a physical entity. So this is the other possibility. A few days ago, when we circulated our Dhamma talk topic, one of our Dhamma followers forwarded me a research paper done by some of the scientists. This research has been published in Scientific Journal of Frontiers. What has happened? A group of scientists, they wanted to measure the brain waves of a patient who was having epilepsy. He was 87 years old. While his brain activities was being recorded, this patient had cardiac arrest, a heart attack, and he died. So this group of scientists managed to record the brain waves of a dying person. This is purely an accident. They did not plan for this. However, what they have discovered when they go through these brain waves they recognize before and after the clinical death. Within 30 seconds before and after this death, the cognitive activities of the brain seems to be very active. And these brain waves and the patterns show the similarities when the brain actively think of something or dream of something or trying to concentrate on something or trying to recall something. So the brain waves are similar to these activities. But at that stage, the patient is already dead, clinically dead. So the heart has stopped and the brain activities is still going on 30 seconds after that. And they speculate it might be possible that a dying person in fact remembers and recalls one's own life. So however, this is just one incident, and I believe that we need to have more research before scientific community come to any conclusion about the brain and the mind. Now, we also need to look at it from the Buddhist point of view. According to Buddhism, mind is not the sole product of the brain. Buddhism does not recognize that brain alone produces consciousness. In fact, Buddhism does not recognize the brain as the only organ which gives rise to consciousness. The Buddhist idea related to nama rupa, mind and matter complexity, or body mind complexity. So here we are talking about five aggregates. So when we analyze the five aggregates, and they always coexist, they interdependent and interrelated. It is very noteworthy and interesting to see how Buddha recognized the mind within Salayatana, six faculties. So according to this classification, we have six faculties: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body. These are the five sense faculties. And the sixth one is the mind. Now, these six sense faculties, they have external stimulus. Through our eyes, we recognize forms. Through our ears, we detect sounds. Through our nose, we can smell. And through our tongue, we can taste flavors. And through our body, we can come to understand the sensation, touch sensation. Similarly, with our mind, we can understand thoughts, ideas, and some of the exclusively mind-related ideas and concepts which are not received through other five sense faculties. So in Buddhism, mind is recognized as a faculty. And here it is noteworthy, Buddha recognized eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body as sense faculties, but he did not recognize the brain in this place. Instead, he recognized entire body. So mind has the ability to deal with five sense faculties and their data at the same time, mind also has its own field of reception, what we call pottabha, the data that mind can receive, mind alone can receive. So in this particular case, in Salayatana or six sense faculties, the Buddha recognized mind as a faculty, but he did not pin it down to the brain, but rather he recognized body and mind complex. In other terms, all the five sense faculties, which this body itself and the organs, the rest of the organs, including the brain, is the base for the existence of the consciousness. It is also very interesting to see how Buddha recognized these five aggregates as interdependent and interrelated, and say that it is impossible to sustain consciousness without these five together, with apart from form, apart from feeling, apart from perception, and apart from mental formation, the consciousness cannot survive. That's what the Buddha says in the Bija Sutta. So it means the consciousness together with the other four aggregates coexist together. So remember, in Buddhist teachings, we do not recognize the brain as the only organ that produces the consciousness or mind. So the possibility, of course, without this gross physical body, the consciousness can still exist with subtler bodies and the other related four aggregates. Now, what does Buddhism say about near-death experiences? Even though NDE, near-death experiences, have become somewhat very popular in modern days because of these near-death experiences, stories have been published and told, and scientific community has been interested in them. In Buddhist teaching, near-death experiences are recorded throughout the Buddhist literature. This is not something new, in fact. And you just listened to one of these stories today, which is from Dhammapada. And here, in this story, he is relating, I mean, the story itself is relating to a near-death experience. According to Buddhist teachings, the near-death experiences can be broadly categorized into three sections. However, Buddhism is a specifically designed method to release from suffering and attain enlightenment. So in that being the case, these experiences related to the death are strictly confined to the doctrine of karma and rebirth. In other terms, we understand these experiences and we try to recognize them in relevance to the doctrine of karma and rebirth. So when we look at these experiences from that philosophical aspect, we can broadly categorize them into three. A dying person may experience at his dying moment karma, karma nimitta, or gati nimitta. I will explain them in one by one. A person who is going to die just before he passes away, and he may remember his own actions, both ethical and unethical actions that he did throughout his life. And in this particular case, the karma here means the intentional actions which has ethical or unethical ground. There are four karmas coming to existence at this stage, according to the priority of giving its effect. First group of actions may come to the mind are the most powerful types of actions. The technical word used here is garuka, means weighty karma. These actions can be very powerful actions which produce very powerful forces, both in wholesome aspect as well as unwholesome aspect. If you talk about wholesome aspect, we are referring here the excellent cultivation of the mind, the excellent achievements of the mental concentration, such as jhanas, ecstasies. So if someone during the lifetime were to dedicate for mental cultivation and achieve excellent mental qualities like the concentrated levels of the mind, a dying person will easily switch into such kind of mindset and will pass away with peace, bliss, and happiness, and will be born in such a realm which is suitable for such kind of consciousness. In unethical side, the weighty karma means here very evil, wicked, immoral actions, such as killing one's own mother, or killing one's own father, or killing an enlightened human being, because these actions are unethical. Not only unethical, they produce heavy karmic forces. So at the moment of the death, someone might recall such kind of powerful, weighty actions, both good and bad. And depending on that, he will be reborn somewhere else. Rebirth consciousness will be created by them, conditioned by them. Suppose there is no such kind of weighty actions or karmic forces come into interplay, then the second possibility is death proximate actions. Asanna karma. Here it means it is possible before someone passes away, if that person were to engage in certain activities, and these activities can remain in the mind as a force, and as a result, and the rebirth consciousness will arise, or that person will be born somewhere else depending on such actions. So before passing away, at the moment of the death, if anyone were to engage in good or bad actions, and those actions will take prominent. It is because of that reason, in Buddhist countries, when someone is about to pass away, they always request monks to go to the bedside of that patient, a dying patient, and talk the Dhamma or recite some suttas. It is to make his mind positive, constructive, and wholesome. There are also people at the deathbed, they will do wholesome activities, or relatives will get together and remind him wholesome activities that person did during the lifetime. So in this story of Dhammika, as you all heard, he also requested the monks to come and chant certain suttas, sacred teachings of the Buddha, because by listening to them, he can have clarity, mindfulness, he can recollect his wholesome actions very clearly, and then based on that, he can die peacefully with a wholesome mind, and as a result, he will be born in a pleasurable, favorable realm. So these actions are called asana kamma, death proximate actions. Suppose there's no such kind of actions as well, then there will be third category of actions come into play. These are the habitual actions that we do throughout our life. They are known as achinna kamma, means throughout our life, we do good and bad actions. Generally speaking, a wholesome human being will dedicate to do wholesome actions. And these actions also can be related to your daily living. For example, someone who makes a living by treating the patients as a doctor. So if this doctor were to treat the patients with compassion, with understanding, and without thinking of money first, but thinking of how to treat the patient out of great compassion, and then his profession itself can become a meritorious action, because at the moment of treating the patient, he has wholesome intention. No doubt he make his living through the profession of treating the patients as a doctor. Nevertheless, at the moment of his daily activities, he has a wholesome mind. Similarly, any other person who engage in any other wholesome profession, a good profession, can use the same profession to make merits. So such kind of daily activities come into play at the moment of the death. If it is someone who is a criminal, for example, who make one's own living by cheating or by doing evil, wicked, immoral activities such as scamming or human trafficking or abusing people, and then of course such kind of activities will come into play at the moment of the death, and based on that, the rebirth consciousness will be conditioned. Well, suppose there is no weighty karma and there is also no death proximate karma, and then there is also no these habitual karma or actions. But in such a case, some past karmic forces will come into existence, and this is called cumulative forces, katatta kamma, because this kind of karmic forces, they of course can go even beyond this life. It means the past karmic forces also can come into existence at this stage. So a person at the moment of the death might remember some of these actions. As a result, his rebirth consciousness will be produced based on these karma. The second possibility of the near-death experience is the moment one is going to die, instead of directly remembering particular actions, that person might remember a symbol of action, what we call karma nimitta. A symbol of action is something related to a particular action. It can be smell, it can be visual, it can be taste, it can be anything else, any other experience that might come through your five sense faculties, or it can flash in your mind itself like a symbol. For example, if someone were to do a wholesome actions, for example, that person compassionately and serve the other human beings, take care of old folk, serve them and compassionately, or do any other charitable action, wholesome actions. In such a case, that person might remember something related to that particular actions. In a case of a monk or a nun, perhaps might remember a religious symbol which is associated with the daily activities. In a case of a killer, for example, and might remember a weapon like a gun, something like will come to the mind, a symbol related to a particular action. For example, this particular criminal throughout his life used his abilities and skills to destroy living beings, human beings, using weapons. And in such kind of occasions, a weapon might come into the mind as a memory. And based on that, then it will link to the particular karmic force and condition the rebirth consciousness. The third possibility is gati nimitta. Gati nimitta here means a person may actually have a sense of the destiny that person is going to be born. It means if someone is going to be born in a lower realm, in a suffering realm, and that person might in fact sense it, that he's going to be born in such a realm. And based on that, that person might have a kind of hallucination or kind of imagination or kind of mental image. Suppose like fire, or suppose miserable sound, a kind of sign related to particular destination. If you take this particular the story that we related today, the story of Dhammika, at the moment of his death, he has gati nimitta. He has a sign, a kind of understanding where he is going to be born. In this particular case, his vision was related to chariots, decorated chariots, which symbolically representing a wholesome destination, heavenly world. Similarly, someone who might get the vision of forests or animals, that might lead to be born in an animal realm. If someone were to remember the departed relatives and friends, like they are hanging around, that might be the symbol of the destiny that person is going to be born in human world again. So these are the possible the near-death experiences explained in Buddhist text, but they are specifically mentioned related to the doctrine of karma and rebirth. Now, as we heard in this story, when the Buddha heard the passing away of Upasaka Dhammika, and he said, "Ida modati pecha modati kata punyo ubhayatta modati, so modati so pamodati diswa kamma visuddhi matano." Here the term modati has been used 4 times. Pamodati also used 1 time. The word modati means become happy and joyful. Pamodati means become extremely happy and joyful. So, as the Buddha says, a person who commit to do wholesome actions through one's own thoughts, words, and body, a person who does merits, and such a person, Ida modati, in this life itself, becomes so happy and joyful. Why? When you do wholesome actions through your thoughts, words, and the body, you are engaging in something positive, constructive, and wholesome. These positive, constructive, wholesome thoughts, words, and actions will transform you to become a dignified human being, a noble human being. And here and now, you will experience bliss and happiness. You will not have any regret in your life because your conduct is very pure. And when you look at your own life, it is like a polished mirror. And you can see everything very clearly. And there's no single black drop on that mirror. And you feel so happy because I have lived such a noble human life. So he becomes so happy. Idamodati. Pechamodati. And as a result of this clarity of one's character and wholesome behavior, and after the death, when that person is born somewhere else, and he also becomes so happy because he is born in a favorable condition. Pechamodati. Kata punyo ubhayattamodati. The one who does merits become happy here in this world and becomes happy after the death. Bhiyo modati sukatingato. Being born in a good place, a favorable realm, he exceedingly become happy and joyful. Okay, I think this is enough as a talk. We can open this for Q&A.